opportunity to come out and worship God and give him what he's due and that much more, then we ought to be thankful for it. So definitely glad to be able to come before you again and share a little bit of God's word, maybe to encourage someone along the way. What do you know about David? Very interesting character, isn't he? You know, David is oftentimes given credit for slaying Goliath, killing a lion and a bear, but oh my goodness, did David have some problems? Now, here's a man who probably had more problems than you can shake a stick at, but yet still he was considered a man after God's own heart. One of the interesting things to do from time to time in your own personal Bible study is learn to do some character studies of folks read of in the Bible. You kind of really see, first of all, that they're just like us. Second of all, you can definitely see how God worked in their lives. So we're going to talk about a little bit about David. In particular, you know, his trouble with the Philistines. You know, it was so bad at one point in time in David's life that he actually went and tried to join the Philistines and fight with them. Now many of us have heard of the Hatfield and McCoys, right? You know, I watched a miniseries. I think it came on this past week, come on sometime on the History Channel. And you just see it. I know some of it's glorified, but I understand just doing a little bit of being a history buff. That was a pretty rough feud between families to the point where a lot of folks lost their lives. Can you imagine just one of the Hatfields coming and wanting to fight with the McCoys against the Hatfields? It's kind of what was going on here in 1 Samuel chapter 29 and 30. Here we have David, just to set up the scene for you. Him and his family are living amongst the Philistines. They're living in a city. They're working with one of them, and they decide that they want to fight for the Philistines. That's kind of bad. But the Philistine says, wait a minute. I mean, what? David fighting? He's fighting? I don't trust him. No foreign I can throw him. So, no, he's not fighting for us. I understand that he's over here, and I understand he's dwelling in our land, but there's no way in the world I'm going to let this enemy fight, because in the middle of the battle, he could turn on us. That's what we get to. So now let's get over into 1 Samuel chapter 30. I just wanted to give you a little bit of what was going on, and then we're going to make some points because, you know, we're going to talk about some of the troubles David had, but one of the things he learned to do is we'll pick up and find out a key to what we need to do sometimes in times of trouble. 1 Samuel chapter 30. We're going to begin at verse number 1. 1 Samuel chapter 30, and let's begin at verse number 1. It reads as such. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag, on the third day the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great nor small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city. Behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because of the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. Subject title, how to encourage yourself in the Lord. I mentioned David had some problems. Let's go through just a list of them. This is not all of them. He was pursued almost to the ends of the earth by King Saul. For what reason? All he did was do what God had told him. He even played, it was a musician by heart, and he was the only thing that at one point in time that could soothe Saul's troubled soul. And in the meantime, when he was playing, we see pictures of him throwing beams or arrows at him or javelins at him, trying to kill him, to the point where he ran for his life. He barely escaped several assassination attempts. I mean, just by the skin of his teeth, because God was with him. He had to spend much time hiding in the wilderness, away from everybody he loved, for what? Just being David and doing what God asked him to do. His entire family, speaking of this one, was kidnapped on one occasion. Now look at all the trouble he had. That's just some of it. He suffered the shame of having committed adultery and murder. His son Amnon raped his daughter Tamar. Absalom led a revolt against his father. Absalom himself was killed, and it grieved David to the point where it almost took him to the grave. Need I say more? David had some problems. Now here again, he's trying to fight the Philistines to defeat the Amalekites, and they don't trust him, and he does this, and he's on his way back, because they send him back the way he was staying, and then he gets back, and everybody, man, woman, and daughter, were captured or kidnapped while he was on his way back. And who they blame? David? Look at what it says in verse number 6. And David was greatly distressed, because his wives were captured too. For the people spake of stoning him. David, you caused all this. Well, David didn't cause all that. David, you brought this trouble to our doorstep. He didn't bring all that happen. You ever been in a situation like that where it seems like it's not really your fault, but everybody seems to be pointing a finger at you? And if you hadn't, just keep living. It's going to come. And all you've done is nothing. But sometimes when things go wrong, they're always looking for an excuse or a scapegoat. Sometimes your number's going to be called in that situation too. Been there before in my life. It's not a fun place to be. And all you did was really maybe, like David did, try to help out in the situation. So what do? In times of trouble, we see here what was going on. Again, the context of 1 Samuel 30, verses 1 through 6, tells us this, that at this time in life, David was living in Ziklag, having fled from King Saul, and now he was aligned with the Philistines. The Philistines were preparing for battle King Saul, and David and his men had gone to join with the Philistines. Like I said, kind of sad situation to look at. But the Philistines did not fully trust him, so they sent him and his men back to Ziklag. And they got back there, as I said before, and everything was burned down, and all the people were gone. Now, they didn't kill them, because they said they spared the life of them. They slew not any of them, either great or small. But can you imagine getting back, and your whole family's gone and kidnapped? Can you imagine the fear and the dread and the distress you may have? All of this started because he was fleeing King Saul. He never wanted to go to the Philistines. He never wanted that to happen. But circumstances being what they were, that was the only place he could find safety and rest and not look over his shoulder 24/7. So he was actually hiding in the enemy's camp to protect his own life, because his own people, led by King Saul, mainly King Saul, and his decree to kill David at all costs, was hiding among the Philistines. You imagine how much pride he had to swallow? Imagine the fact that maybe he ran into Goliath's cousin on that side. You ever thought about that? Goliath had four more brothers. He's fighting with the Philistines now. But it was so bad for him, that's where he went. So all these things are going on. Naturally, David is distressed. But on top of this, the people were ready to kill him for not having been there when he was needed. Your fault, David. But notice carefully the last part of verse 6. What does David do when he's lost his family and his son? His life is threatened. He learned to strengthen himself in the Lord. Now you may say, what does that mean, strengthen yourself in the Lord? We're going to talk about and look at some ways that he did. Because everyone has trouble from time to time. We just talked about before. A lot of us deal with the things of society, the things of being in this world. Death, sickness, illness, job loss, and all these other things that we sometimes deal with. So what do in times of trouble? The world throws up their hand in despair. But we, being God's people, need to learn to do what David did. He strengthened ourselves in the Lord. Point number one, in times of trouble, David often composed songs. And there's a little bit of wisdom in sometimes being able to write things and get them out. Some people like to journal. Some people just like to write it and throw away in the feelings. And what it does is get things off your mind. You know, the thing that really drives us and eats away at our peace is we keep all this stuff between our two ears. That's what causes sometimes to lose sleep at night. You know, we talked about Wednesday night, what we need to do in times of trouble is be anxious for nothing and pray. We talked about it. We covered it in detail about what a blessing that is. But the reality is sometimes it's hard. So he found himself writing psalms. He wrote psalms while he was being pursued by Saul in Psalms 59, verses 1 through 4. When in prison in Gath, he wrote Psalms 56. Fleeing from Absalom, his only son, he wrote the third psalm that we have. Why is it so important? David learned to sometimes use things that he found pleasurable to help him through tough situations. He even wrote Psalm 63 while he was hiding in the wilderness of Judah. Now, how many of us would have been writing, talking about your feelings, and also letting them know at the end, because he almost ended every psalm this way, that God, you're still in control. I trust you no matter what. David had problems like the rest of us, but he wrote psalms. From these psalms, we can glean exactly how David strengthened himself in the Lord. For example, turn with me to Psalms 56. We're going to spend a little bit of time in Psalms tonight. Psalms is a very good book to study because it addresses every situation that we've been in pretty much in our life. But I want us to think about this and how he did these things. Psalms 56. We're going to read Psalms 56, verses 1 through 4. And it reads as such. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for there be many that fight against me, O thou most high. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they rest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps. When they wait for my soul, shall they escape by iniquity in thine anger and cast down the people, O God? Thou tellest me my wanderings. Put thou my tears into a bottle. Are they not in thy book? Oh, my goodness. When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid of what man can do unto me. Their vows, thy vows are upon me. O God, I render my praises unto thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may be before God in the light of the living? Oh, my goodness. You talk about enemies. You talk about him really fretting for his own life and his own safety. His enemies surround him. They're talking about him. They're marking his steps. They follow every aspect of his life. But notice what he does. I'm going to trust you, God. I will not be afraid of what they can do to me. Sometimes we just really need to really think about who's in control and who's on our side. Sometimes trouble makes us forget that. But in times of trouble, David always remembered there was God on his side. Now let's look at Psalms chapter 59. A couple of them over. We're going to begin at verse number 15. Psalms 59, let's begin at verse number 15. I want to back up and get verses number 10 through 15. I do that a lot. I see when I flip over, I see some more points I want to make. The God of my mercy shall prevent me. God said, let me see my desire upon my enemies. Slay them not, lest my people forget. Scatter them by thy power and bring them down, O Lord, our shield. For the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them even be taken in their pride and cursing and lying which they speak. Consume them with wrath. Consume them that they may not be. And let them know that God ruleth in Jacob unto the ends of the earth. And at the evening, let them return and let them make a noise like a dog and go round about the city. Let them wander up and down for meat and grudge if they be not satisfied. But I will sing of thy power. Yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning. For thou hast been my defense and my refuge in my day of trouble. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing. For God is my defense and the God of my mercy. He wrote Psalms and he sang. It's blessings in singing praises to God, even in the most troublesome times. There's been a situation where, you know, one of the things that kind of help you, if you remember a song that you really like, that kind of comes to mind and it kind of helps you through situations, that's not by accident. He did these things. A lot of the songs were set to music. But I like it because he had a strategy. This is how he strengthened himself in the Lord. He wrote songs and then he also sang praises, even in the time in the middle of the most trying times of his life. What happens in our world a lot of times is when trials come, people run and scatter away from God. That's the last thing we need to do. We need to draw closer to him. We need to learn to strengthen ourselves in him during those times because everybody has them. Here's the matter of God's own heart. King, he had status. He had status in society. He was king of Israel. But oh my goodness, he had problems just like we do. And that's why I love God's word because it doesn't hide anything. Now, if anybody had a right and David would have had something to say about it, I'm pretty sure he wouldn't have included the passage in there about him and Bathsheba. He wouldn't have done it, because who would have? That's something you sweep under the rug a little bit. But God gives us the wisdom and through his word and allows us to see that he makes mistakes and he's not perfect like all of us are not perfect. But yet still, we can be still be pleasing to God and be people after God's own heart. So we see here, David was determined to continue praising God for his help. One of the things and one of the ways we strengthen God is when troubles come, we need to make ourselves even more determined to be more faithful and strengthen ourselves in God, to be more faithful in your word study, in your prayer. This is what gets us through. This is the strengthening process. Now let's look at Psalms chapter 63. We're going to learn some more strategies from it. We're going to begin at verse number 1 and read down through verse number 8. It says this, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth after thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory. So as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul that followeth hard after thee, my right hand, thy right hand upholdeth me. Think about that for a moment. Think about how sometimes we struggle falling asleep when we're stressed out. What did he say? On his bed at night, he remembers the goodness and the protection of God. He remembers and meditates on these things in the night watches. One of the hardest things for us to do sometimes is calm our minds down when it should be calm and there's no other distractions. Oftentimes, that's when these thoughts in our mind kind of come to the surface. You know, we sometimes are too busy in everyday lives to really deal with some stuff underneath the surface, what a real problem is. But I don't know about you. Sometimes that's the hardest thing to do is put these things out of my mind and get some sleep at night. Struggled with that a little bit last night. I mentioned that before, just thinking about life and how fragile life is. And the next thing I know is 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. Got up at 7. Ain't had much sleep, but, you know, it happens sometimes. So, and it was nothing intentional. It was just sometimes these things overwhelm us. But I found myself needing to go back and take David's advice. That's why I looked at this lesson, and I thought maybe it'd help us. Because he said he remembered upon his bed and meditated on how good God was, and that he was a helper in times of trouble. How often do we do these things? We seek the Lord, as he says, in verses 1 and 2 of 63. We praise and we pray, verses 3 through 5. And then we meditate, we internalize it, we ingest it to the point where it saturates our thought life and our emotions. He tells us how to do that in verses 6 through 7. In each of these psalms, David is basically saying one thing. In Psalms 56, 59, and 63, he says this, to sum it up. In time of trouble, put your trust in God. Stay close to him through praising him and praying to him. Do this, and you will be made strong as God upholds us during that time of trouble in our life. That's how we do it. That's how we do it. There's no magic to it. David gives us a prescription of how to make it through some troublesome times when we are dealing with situations that are not necessarily our fault, that are placed on our fact, because we're connected to one another. Sometimes that just happens. Sometimes we are burdened down with the troubles of this world and sometimes the trouble of others. No need to fret, because God is the one who upholds us anyway. No need to fret when you're surrounded by enemies, because we don't need to worry about what man can do to us. Many folks lose a lot of sleep in stressing over what man or what if or what man may do and what man might do. God says don't do that. There's no reason to do that if you're trusting him. And if you are doing it, you're not trusting God as he has commanded us to do. And that's the beauty of it. And that's what we need to do. So how do we deal with problems today? Same way David did then. We too as Christians often face many trials and tribulations. Some are related to family. Others are related to personal matters of concern. Some are related to jobs. Some are related to money and finances. What do you do in times of trouble? Do you throw up your hands in despair? Do you say and begin to doubt God, or do you trust him more? And oftentimes God allows us to go through these valleys in life so that we'll learn to trust him more. I know, just speaking for myself, some of the best lessons and some of the closest time I walk with God is some of the most troublesome trials in my life. Now, I hate to say it that way, I mean, because I needed it, but that needs to be my walk every day. And as I grew as a Christian, I tried not to make it just only during times when things aren't going well for me. I tried to make it every day. so that when I'm there and when these troubles sometimes come up, like they will, then I already know and I can do like David and strengthen myself in the Lord. He had this relationship with God to the point where instead of focusing on all those situations around him, focusing on the fact of, you know, he didn't have his family at this time in 1 Samuel chapter 30. For a little while, he didn't know where they were. But he knew that God knew where they were. He knew that God could still protect them, even if his own limitations wouldn't allow him to figure out where they were and protect his own family. That's one of the things that's heartbreaking to anybody that's head of a household, because you know you're a protector of the family. And when you can't protect your family, that's some painful stuff. When you know that they're in danger, that's some painful stuff that we sometimes have to deal with. But we see David gave us a prescription on how to do it. In many cases, and this is what we mess up at, people try to tackle their problems alone. Oh, my goodness. Just give me some time. I got this. No, you don't. We touched on this a little bit in our class this morning. You know, we're not strong enough, and God says he's not. Matter of fact, at times, God says not only is he angry at us, but he also curses us because we try to do it ourselves. Turn me to Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. Get a little bit more familiar with the Old Testament for a little while tonight because there's a lot of lessons in it. Jeremiah chapter 17. I want to begin at verse number 1, and we'll read down through verse number 8. Jeremiah 17, 1 through 8. And it says this: the sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron, and with the point of a diamond. It is graven upon the table of their heart and upon the horns of your altars. Whilst their children remember the altars and their groves by the green trees upon the high hills, O my mountain in the field, I will give thy substance and all thy treasures to the spoil, and thy high places for sin throughout all thy borders. And thou, even thyself, shall discontinue thine heritage for that I gave thee. And I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not. For ye have kindled a fire in mine anger, which shall burn forever. Now notice what he's saying. All these things you've done, you left me out of your plans. You tried to handle your problem situations alone. That's what he's talking about here. Notice what he says in verse number 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departed from the Lord. Oh my goodness. If you're trying to do this yourself, there's a curse on your life. That's what it's saying. He was angry because they didn't come to him in times of trouble. Cursing the man that trusted in man and whose heart departed from the Lord, because when you trust in man, your heart is not with God. What else does he tell us in verse number 6? For he shall be like the heath in the desert and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land and not inhabited. Not only are you cursed, but all you're going to have is dryness, pain, and suffering in your life because you left God out of your problems. When we leave God out of our problems, it only ends up bad for us. But Satan will tell us these things. We tell ourselves that we can handle it, we can do it. No, we can't. Notice what it tells us in verses 7 and 8. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither cease from yielding fruit. Verse 9 ties it up. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Your heart, your thoughts and emotions are deceptive, because we don't always see the real picture, and especially when in times of trouble, all we see is trouble, all we feel is despair, and oftentimes we separate ourselves from God when we need him the most, and he's saying it's not going to work out. It's only going to get dry for you. It's only going to get worse for you. But notice what he says. When you trust in the Lord, you're like a tree planted by water. You won't even know there's a drought in your life because you trust God to provide these things for you. That's what he's saying. It doesn't bother us. Drought doesn't bother these trees planted by the water. Much as I like the fish, I know that I grew up in my great-grandmother, her property over in Anson County, across the street. She had a nice little pond right across the street. We used to fish. I was fishing when I was 5 or 6 old by myself. I don't know why she let me do it because I could have fallen in, but I was pretty careful. One of the things I always noticed about July is that when the waters went down, those huge trees that were beside the water, they kept shade. They never dried out. Some of the other trees that were a little farther away from the pond bank, they dried out. But then you were able to see how deep these roots ran. They knew no such thing as drought. So when you talk about your life, the closer you get to God, the more you trust in Him. You don't have to worry about outward circumstances. And oh my goodness, do we need this in our world today? We need it more than ever. Because we as Christians are running around fretting and wondering like the rest of the world, like we have nobody on our side. We're just as tied up with fear and anxiety as the person without God. And God is saying, what's your problem? Why are you worried when I said, trust in me, and you don't have to worry about it? It doesn't mean you won't have trouble, because trouble comes to everybody. But notice, when trouble comes, it won't move you. You'll be able to make it through it with God's help. That's what it's telling us here in this particular passage of Jeremiah. We see this. A good example of God's displeasure when his people fail to look at him for strength is also found in Isaiah. Turn me to Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. I want to pick up around verse 1, and I'll read down through probably verse 3, and I'm going to skip down and get 15 and 16. I want to read this whole passage. Isaiah chapter 30, verses 1 through 3. And it reads as such. Woe to the rebellious child, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. Many of us, instead of trusting God, we trust, to proverbial, the script, everyday example of Egypt. We trust the world. We trust people. We trust situations. We fuck everybody act. That's not what we need to place our trust. And it says, it's like he calls you a rebellious child. When we refuse to seek God and his help, it's actually an act of rebellion. Now, we don't see it as such. But that's exactly what he's talking about here. Let's see what it says in verse 15 through 18. It says this, for thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest ye shall be saved, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and ye would not. But ye said, no, for we will flee upon horses. Therefore shall ye flee, and we will ride upon the swift. Therefore shall they that pursue you be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one. At the rebuke of five shall ye flee, till ye be left as a beacon upon the top of the mountain, and as a sign, ensign on a hill. And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore he will be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you, for the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are they that wait for him. Part of strengthening in myself, ourself in God, is learning to wait on to show up in our lives. And it's not according to our timetable either. It's not according to what we want. But that's the beauty of putting the trust in it. So that if we don't get things when we want them, understand that God's going to keep his promises that he's made to us. And that's how we strengthen ourselves in the Lord, when it seems like all of life at this point in time in our life is full of disappointment and pain and sorrow. We need to place our trust in God. David learned to strengthen himself in the Lord. And we need to learn the same lesson. When we leave God out of the picture and solving problems, one thing is certain. God leaves us to deal with these problems on our own without his help. When you leave God, he also leaves you to deal with your mess yourself. Oh, man. And then what happens oftentimes is the next thing is we find ourselves getting mad at God because he's not helping us. But really, if you may not have left him, you shouldn't have left him in the first place. He wants to help, but he's not going to affect your free will. So he'll let you walk and deal with the mess you're in by yourself and suffer until you realize and learn to place your trust in him. That's what it's talking about. Another thing is possible, an act of loving discipline. Think about this now. God might frustrate our efforts to solve our problems independent of his help, to discipline us, because we need it. When we take matters into our own hands without God, it's an act of discipline. He'll let you stay in this mess of confusion and pain as a form of discipline so that you'll realize he is what we truly need. In conclusion, am I going to keep us long tonight? Let us learn from one experience in dealing with problems, David. In times of trouble, look to the Lord for your strength. Trust in the Lord and be steadfast in praising him at all times, whether it's going good for you at that point in time or not, because you know, and I know, that things will work out for our good in the end. He promises that in Romans 8:28. Don't forsake him, nor leave the assembly of the saints, in which is a big part of us strengthening ourselves in the Lord. When we miss assembling together, we miss a chance to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. We strengthen ourselves through one another. And we may say things like, you know, I'm tired and all those other things, but when you think about it, it's a whole lot harder dealing with spiritual tiredness than physical tiredness. We know that we can get some rest and change that. But when your soul is weary, no amount of sleep, rest, or anything will help you. Because your soul is weary. That's a whole different type of weariness when your soul is weary. So let us learn to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. Remember that those who trust in the Lord will always find strength, deliverance, and true joy. This is what we need to deal with our problems. Strength, deliverance, and true joy. Do you trust in the Lord, or do you trust in your own strength? Learn to let God be your deliverer, especially when it pertains to the problem of the guilt of sin. Now, I said this at the end because if you really think about what sin does, it can really take us places where we don't need to go. But even in sin, David was a man after God's own heart. Instead of running away from God, we see when we're dealing with, and Nathan tells him, using that parable he said gave him, you are the man that it's referring to. We didn't see David getting mad, because he got mad in the beginning because he didn't realize it about him. But we see his heart being touched by the sin of his life and repentance. And God, he remembered those things no more. Now, he had some consequences on this side of living, but God even helped him through these situations. Look at all the problems he had because of that one act. Because of that one act, he had problems in his household the rest of his life. The rest of his life. But we also see that God remembered those sins no more. And what it's talking about here is in judgment. So we need to learn to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. Don't do what the world does. At this point in time, we have folks in our society who are just running around like, as my grandma used to say, chickens with the head cut off, panicking about everything. Now, I'm not saying using wisdom, but should we have the same worry and anxiety as the world? The answer is a resounding no. They need to be looking to someone for strength. I'm not saying not have use common. I'm not saying those things. But if you're afraid and just like the rest of the world, where's your God at during these time periods? That's what the world has a right to see. That should be the fruit on our tree. But many of us are tied up in fear and anxiety so much so that folks can't see God even working in our own lives. Strengthen yourself in the Lord. This is how we do it. He don't want us living a life full of fear and anxiety and worry. We choose that. He doesn't want it. As a matter of fact, when we choose it and choose to deal with it on our own, we just read in Jeremiah 17 that he cursed them because he left them out in the middle of his problem. Some of us think about, what must we do to be saved? Let's hear the gospel, believe what we have heard, repent of our sins, confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and be baptized for the remission of our sins, placed in the Christ Jesus. It makes us new creatures. But from time to time, we fall short. From time to time, the problems and troubles and trials of this world crowd out God in our lives. From time to time, and we see David going through these brief periods, but almost at the end of every psalm, he snaps out of it. God, I know this is happening. I know all these people surrounding, shooting their left eye at me. They're talking about it. They're marking my steps. But you, God, are going to protect me. That's the thing we have to tell our thought life when we had to begin to think these thoughts. I know it, and I see it, and you see it, but I'm not going to worry about it because they can't touch me because you are my protection. You're my shield. You're my buckler. You're my rock. That's got to be what we have. And as I matriculate in this world each and every day, and this world sinks deeper and deeper in the fear and anxiety and depression because of what we're dealing with in our society, we as Christians have a chance to shine as lights in this world of darkness. I'm not saying we won't be affected by this world, but oh my goodness, our attitude should be different. It should be different because who's on our side? Strengthen yourself in the Lord. So if you have one desire or other, put on Christ in baptism or request special prayer. We ask you to please come forward as we sing a verse of...